I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio. Dramatic voice.
Yeah, that is Patrick Hester is he's an author and a podcaster, and you can check out his website, atfmb.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I am a
So John, can I do it all over again? The name of the place is Functional Nerds.
Oh, okay.
It's a Babylon 5 thing, John.
I know.
It's a Babylon 5 thing.
I know. I never
the
watched
Babylon. The Functional Nerds project was our best hope for peace.
I know. It's. I never actually watched Babylon 5, but so as you can tell, we have Claudia Christian on the show tonight. So Patrick is the big Babylon 5 fan. I never actually watched it. And when we got the email that asked if we wanted Claudia as well as Morgan, her co-author on our upcoming book on the show, I had sort of forwarded to Patrick. I'm like, I'm assuming you want to make this happen. And he's like, yes, yes.
And I get credit because I didn't even do my Zathras impersonation.
You were very well behaved. As you could tell, Claudia and Morgan are not on the line with us right now. We did the interview ahead of time because we didn't want to keep them for longer than they needed to be. But they were delightful, and you will hear that in the interview. They do have a book coming out through tour. So yes, they dropped by and we talked about that book and lots. They wrote another book together,
Empire Gladiator.
Yeah, that's the. That's the new one out, but they have a memoir out as well.
Babylon Confidential, a memoir of love, sex, and addiction.
Yeah, so they have a lot of good stuff going on, and it's really cool. And I think you'll enjoy that interview. Before we get to that, I do want to mention that if you enjoy our show, what Patrick and I do here at Functional Nerds, and you want to support what we do, you can do that through our Patreon page. All you have to do is go over to patreon.com/functionalnerds, and you can pledge $1 a month or whatever amount you see fit. There's rewards for different levels, and it helps us out a ton, and we're super grateful to all the people that already do that. So thank you, everybody that already backs us. It really does mean the world to us. And if you're someone that digs the show and digs having interviews with cool folks like Claudia Christian and Morgan, you that would really help us out if you backed us. So go over there again, patreon.com/functionalnerds.
You know who would back us immediately, John?
Who's that?
Zathras.
Zathras, of course. Patrick, you'll hear in this interview, everybody, Patrick was very professional and well-behaved. It was really, he did a stellar job.
Uncharacteristically,
yes. I think you're really going to dig this one, everybody. So enjoy.
And we're here tonight with Claudia Christian and Morgan Grant Buchanan. That's how I'm going to pronounce it, Morgan. If I'm not saying it right, you'll have to tell me later.
100% spot on.
Who are the co-authors on a new book available from Tor, which is coming out June 28th. It's called Wolf's Empire Gladiator, which is a very it's a very cool title.
Thank you.
Who came up with the title?
I think it evolved over time. Originally, it was going to be called The Wolf's Odyssey, and then it changed to The Wolf's Empire. And then when we came to do a graphic novel pitch, it just got boiled down to Wolf's Empire. And I think it ended up in the right place.
And I would be remiss if I didn't go through your bios, which John normally does, but he's making me do it tonight because he likes to hear me read stuff. Claudia Christian has been an actress in TV and film since 1983, starred in dozens of films and the Hugo Award-winning science fiction series Babylon 5. Hey, I've also won a Hugo Award. Woohoo! Solidarity!
Yeah,
for you. And she voices many of the top games in the world, including Skyrim, Halo, World of Warcraft, and Fallout 4. What did you do in World of Warcraft?
Oh, you think I remember? I do so many voices. I work on these things for years. I know that I you know, I was a Norn and this one and a dragon. And then I played multiple voices in most of the games. So
that is awesome.
It's on IMDb, though. So if anybody gets curious, if they're playing Fallout 4 or Halo or something or World of Warcraft, and they go, it sounds like Claudia. If they look on IMDb, they usually list the names of my characters.
That's awesome. And you live in L.A.?
I live in Los Angeles now.
I'm so sorry.
So you know what? I lived in London for a decade. I loved that too. I'm easy peasy. But LA is, you know, a California girl. The whole
bit. I grew up in Fresno, so no more.
Well, we have better weather and prettier people, so there you have it. No. Just kidding.
Morgan Grant Buchanan is an Australian writer of sci-fi and historical fantasy. He also writes comics, films, and short stories. Hey, Morgan.
Hey, how you going, Patrick?
Good.
Now, one of the first things that I wanted to ask is that I noticed when looking into your background that Claudia has an autobiography, a memoir that came out a little bit ago, and Morgan, you are listed on that book as well. So is that how you guys got to know each other? Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you got to know each other and how you got to work with each other.
Actually, we met before that on a film project called Barrier in Australia. And Morgan and I got along, so we started to talk about what we could do in the future together. And then I had the opportunity to write my memoir, and I asked him to write it with me because, you know, we had a good relationship at that point. We had been knocking around the idea of the graphic novel for Wolf. He loves strong female protagonists. So, you know, we had a lot of the same sensibilities, and I trusted that he would do my story a service, and he certainly did. It's a really great book, and it's saved a lot of lives so far. So I'm quite proud of that, and proud of our collaboration on this.
I actually have a copy of it. One of my friends here locally, when I told him that we were going to do this interview, he shoved it into my hands, and he says, "You have to read this."
That's great.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, he said it was amazing.
Yeah, we have, not to sit there and pat us on the back, but I mean, I've never met a person who said that they could put it down. It's just like they just start reading it and they go, you kept me up all night long with that book. You know, it's one of those can't put it down reads. That's a lot of the credit goes to Morgan. I lived that crazy life, but structured it into a story that is incredibly easy to absorb.
And John, I don't know if you know this. You know how they blurb it on the back?
Sure.
Kevin G. Anderson blurbed it.
Yeah. The new book, yeah.
The Babylon Confidential.
Oh, I think both, because I believe he did the new book, too.
Yeah, that's right. And Neil Gaiman, too. We got a nice blurb from Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I saw the Neil Gaiman, because Neil Gaiman just put out a book of nonfiction called A View from the Cheap Seats, which is it's basically a collection of his nonfiction. So it's a lot of like the speeches that he's done. It's a lot of intros to books and stuff, but it's very good. You find out what a fan Neil Gaiman is of so many different things. That's some good reading there. So it's always nice to get a plug from Neil Gaiman for sure.
Yeah, he wrote an episode of Babylon 5 too, because he was a fan. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
One of the few, right, that JMS didn't write himself.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
And it's a good episode too.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. As you'd expect.
He's amazing. I'm a huge American Gods fan, so when I reached out to him and he actually responded and gave me, gave us a blurb, I thought that was, I think Morgan saw my inner nerd come out because I was like, oh my God!
Are you excited for the TV show?
Totally. I can't wait. It's going to be in Stars, right?
Yeah.
I'll probably get Stars just like I got HBO to watch Game of Thrones. <You know>? Yeah, definitely.
I just saw a production still from the filming of American Gods. There's like a bar fight going on in this one particular still. I think Entertainment Weekly is putting out a piece on that pretty soon.
Because they've been guarding it pretty secretly. Cast and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised to see it because I thought they were trying to keep it under wraps a little more. But getting back to what you guys do, you know, maybe you can, even before we get into the new book, maybe you could talk about with a memoir, because I love reading memoirs, and quite often there is another writer on it. So what was how did that process work for the two of you with the memoir? Was it did you write some of it, and then or was it a lot of communication between the two of you? How did that work?
I'll let Morgan answer that, but it was a lot of Skypes on my end, that's for sure.
a great deal of Skyping. So we had a kind of interview process where we just talk and talk and talk, and I'd ask questions. And then based on that, I'd write up the interviews and then try to sculpt them into an approximate chapter. Then it would go back to Claudia. She would work on it as well, and then come back with her notes. And we did that for quite a while, months and months and months, until we polished the thing up into something that was interesting to read. And we developed a really good methodology for working together over Skype, and we've continued that on with the current book as well.
Before you go on, John, because that book had such an impact on people, I actually put out on Twitter and Facebook, and I asked some of our fans and our patrons if they had any questions. And one of them actually had a question for you, Claudia, about this book. This is from Matthew. He was wondering how you're doing with your addiction, and he says, as per her book, Babylon Confidential, One Little Pill.
One Little Pill is reaching a lot of people. We're on Amazon Prime now. And as far as what happens with the Sinclair method is, you once you start on it, you after a few months, you achieve what's called pharmacological extinction. So your addiction goes away. It's basically you're in remission as long as you stay on naltrexone if you drink. And a lot of people go sober. A lot of people continue to socially drink, and some people drink maybe a couple times a year, but you must always take naltrexone an hour before you drink. And in the UK, it's nalmefene. So to answer his questions, I'm doing great. I'm in year 7 of TSM. I'm sober now, so I don't really have any interest in drinking. If I wanted to drink, I could, but I'd have to take the medication, which is not a problem. And as far as C3 Foundation and One Little Pill, we reach, you know, over 1 million people now. And I counsel dozens of people myself for free. We offer all of our services for free at the C3 Foundation. We have a sister annex in Scotland called C3 Europe. And we're just, you know, we're reaching out and we're saving lives. And it's, I mean, it sounds like something that I'm bragging about, but it's actually happening. And I see it every single day. And I receive the emails, and I've been doing this for 7 years, and it's an extraordinary treatment. It's very inexpensive, and it helps 78% of the people who go on it. So that's a huge success rate. And, you know, we're working with, you know, various people to try and get it a more known treatment. We're doing a physician outreach program right now. And the film, the documentary One Little Pill, is really helping explain the science behind it. So that was an excellent tool to make. And the book, Babylon Confidential, has reached a lot of people. And we're trying to get it translated into a few more languages. And it's very, you know, when people read the book, they go, wow, I've never heard of the Sinclair method. And I didn't know she had a problem with alcohol, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think by coming clean and by being really honest about it, and by, you know, not saying I'm not ashamed to have had an addiction. I mean, it's a disease of the brain, and it happens to a lot of people. And I don't think there should be shame behind it. So that's why I talk so freely about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, if I can just add, the book's come out in Dutch just recently, in the Netherlands, and Claudia gave a TEDx talk about the Sinclair method just last month, I think, or the month before.
Yeah, I did it at the London Business School last month. I spoke about the Sinclair method specifically, and that's reached a lot of people and been translated into various languages as well. So we're really a grassroots movement, but between the book and the documentary and the nonprofit foundation I started 2 years ago, we're really beginning to get momentum, and we're fighting with SAMHSA and the FDA, and it's just a matter of time before this becomes a readily offered treatment for people suffering from alcohol use disorder. So I'm excited about that, and I'm really excited to be part of it. And you know, Morgan helped a lot by creating a very readable book that included addiction and with a Hollywood memoir and sex and all that other stuff. So, so it worked out. It worked out well. And I'm sure none of us realized that, you know, not to be precious, but that we were writing something that could actually help people's lives. You know? Yeah.
You know, well, so getting back with, you know, we were just talking about with Morgan with creating the memoir. So now, you know, sort of shifting focus to the new book you have been coming out, Wolf's Empire. Now, how did the writing process work on that? Because obviously that's a totally different beast. So, Morgan, how does that process work for the two of you?
Not so different, actually. I went over to stay with Claudia when the memoir was being launched. And could I just say for the record, in terms of the question about how Claudia is doing, my personal impression was I've seldom met somebody more professional, organized, and impressive in my entire life. Staying at Claudia's, she is mind blowing. She's constantly on the move, constantly doing good things for other people. I was super impressed. Claudia is an amazing human being. Really.
Well, you met post TSM.
While I was staying there, we did all the outlining and the planning for the story. Over about a week and a half. And then when I went back to Melbourne, we just kept working together over Skype. We'd discuss plot points. I'd work up a rough, send it on to Claudia. She'd work it over, send it back with her notes. And we just progressed through the book. It was quite an ordeal. It was a 250,000-word book. So it it took years and years of just painstaking slow process, I guess, back and forth until we had the thing ready to go.
I think the funniest part was, though, when they decided that they wanted it from a different point of view. Tell them about that.
we wrote the book in the first person present tense, and the editor said, "This is a great book. I love this book. I'm really behind it. I think it's fantastic. But we just really want to change the first person past it." So we had to go through the thing and rewrite the tense, which doesn't sound like a lot of work until you go to do it.
I've never written so many.
It's a big pain in the ass. But the book's the better for it, and I think the editor was right. So.
What did you say, Claudia?
I said there's no program in Word where you can just
Is there an app for this? Jesus.
You know. Is there an app for this? Yeah. I kept saying to him, if I have to write one more ED or S or ignore a T, you know. Yeah, that's the funny thing, is it's all by hand. But I think it's more powerful. And the upside was
it gave us a chance to revise the whole thing and give it another work over, and the book's the better for it. So
is it true that it's based in part on Ivanova from Babylon 5?
I don't know if it, I mean I would
is say, that is that just marketing speak?
It's marketing, but well, no. Listen, Akala definitely has some of Ivanova's traits. I have some of Ivanova's traits.
I mean, I would hope so. Yeah.
You know, I think that the desire to set the world right, the desire to, you know, be taken as seriously, if not more, than men in a man's world, because this Rome that is futuristic and has expanded into the galaxy is still sort of, you know, a man's world. And, you know, a woman of her family rank and so forth is, you know, expected to do certain things, you know, get married and breed. So there, you wouldn't say that to Susan Ivanova either. So there's a certain strength and despite her nobility, you know, her noble background and everything, there's a street fighter kind of character inside of her, which Ivanova had as well. She came from a very good family, went to excellent schools, but she was, you know, she had a little gutsy fighter inside of her as well. So, but there's other elements of other characters, and Akala brings in a myriad of things that weren't touched upon with Ivanova. But we do touch upon sexuality, which they have in common. Fluid, as they say nowadays.
Sure, sure.
There's addiction that they touch upon, which Ivanova didn't suffer from, but many characters in Babylon 5 did. You know, so I think that, yes, there's definitely a piece of Ivanova in her, and that's something that I think the fans will enjoy, and we wanted to give them something that they would respond to and feel comfortable around. And I think they will love Akala. She's a kick-ass protagonist, and I'm in love with her. She thinks she's fabulous, and she's so young. Just imagine what's going to happen 10 years from now. That's the exciting part, watching her grow up.
There was definitely an inspiration in terms of Ivanova when we started out talking about the character. And Claudia's right in that it's not a carbon copy of Ivanova. It's she's not exactly the same character dressed up in a different scenario, because the character has to be true to the book. You know, they interject with each other. But yeah, she's got Ivanova's fire, definitely, and so does Claudia.
I was gonna say it probably sounds more like she has Claudia's fire, which Claudia gave to Ivanova.
There you go. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of my downfalls and a lot of my fallibilities. You can blame all of those things on me. It gives character. At the end of the day, it gives you character. Nobody's perfect, and that's what I love about a lot of the characters in Wolf's Empire, is that, you know, some of them you start out thinking that they're just going to be the bad guy. And by the end, I think Crassus is one of our most complex characters of all, you know, and you just, you see a metamorphosis with these characters that they go through massive changes. So it's not all cookie cutter at all. I mean, every single one has a distinct personality and has a different journey that they're going through. So it's interesting.
And Akala, the main character, she's very young. She's 17 or 19, 19, I think. 17. So she makes bad young person decisions, you know, with all the right intentions.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not cardboard characters. Hopefully they're complex and interesting, and they make bad decisions. Good characters make bad decisions. Bad characters make good decisions, and hopefully that'll keep the reader's interest.
Let me tell you something. I'm doing the Audible version right now, which is one of the most challenging voiceover jobs I've ever done, because you don't exactly say these words out loud all the time. Caesar Numeric Valentinius every other minute. And not only that, but it was interesting. The other day I was reading a scene, and it's quite a dramatic scene. I'm not going to give anything away, but somebody very close to Akala dies. We'll just say that. And I not only got choked up, but the guy, the engineer, was crying. So I, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is a great sign. He and I sort of got choked up, but I'm sitting there, I know this story, for God's sake, and I'm getting choked up. So I think we've got a winner here if it touches, a grown man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Claudia, I was going to ask, have you done audiobook voice work before for audiobooks, or have you?
Yes, I did the Babylon Confidential, and I did a John Varley story called Options, and I did a couple of murder novels, like murder mystery novels, sort of along the lines of A is for Arsenic, but it wasn't that author. But it was, I can't remember the author's name, but I did a couple of those in the 90s. So I've done about five or six. And of course, you know, but I've done a Disney film and so many games, I can't even remember them. So I've done tons of, I was the voice of Jaguar for 3 years. I've done voice work for 25 years. I've been doing voice work, and I love it. I now, also work for Big Finish. I did Doctor Who. I, you know, played one of the characters in that. So.
Now, how is the experience doing your own book, though? How is that different for you?
At least, and now hold on, before you answer that, at least if you're having trouble pronouncing the word, you as the author can change it.
Well, no, actually, I'm afraid, you know, it's funny because Morgan and I, you know, I was, when you read something or write something, it's completely different than pronouncing it. And if the word is something that we made up, then yeah, if it's easier for me to say Gnaeus instead of Gnaeus or Gnaeus or Gnaeus or whatever, you know, I had to make decisions based on what was easier for me to say multiple times. And make it sound flowing. So I'm sure Morgan, when he hears the audiobook, will go, "What the hell? She's calling one of the leads? What?" You know. So I haven't quite given him the list of things I've changed yet. So I'm glad that we're doing this in the public forum, so he can't yell at me right now. But no, the difference is you know, the thing is that it's just not a natural. It's not a natural thing to say these particular futuristic words for weaponry and so forth. And you know, each character has three names, you know, so there's just a lot of, there's a lot of words. Let's put it this way. Salieri say in Amadeus, when he said too many notes, at least once per audible session, I say to the editor, I said, too many words, too many words. No, but I'm getting through it. I'm almost halfway through. And so the audiobook should come out about a month after the hardback, probably sometime in late July.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, do you know, I don't know if you know, I always ask this question because this is my preferred way of reading. I really like to get the ebook and the audiobook, and sometimes they do like the whisper sync where it will like sync up between the two. I don't know if that's something that is on the table. Like, I don't know who's in charge of that or how, though, because a lot of it is, I believe, rights. Who owns the right to the ebook, the audiobook, and all that, and then whether they can do it. But I always love on that. So I don't know if you guys have any information about that.
I'm confused. You're saying that you follow along with the audiobook and using the ebook?
Okay, so what you can do, and it's not for every book. So if you do it through, I know you could do it through Amazon. I don't know if other companies do it too. So if you buy the ebook, then if the audiobook is available, you can usually buy the audiobook for a, it's usually a discounted price once you've purchased the ebook. Then they will sync up. So meaning you can, if you're reading on a Kindle and you get to page 20 on your Kindle, then when you go to listen to the audiobook, it'll pick up right on page 20.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And vice versa. So it's great because then if you're, especially if it's a, if it's a, if it's a long book, it's wonderful because then you stay in it the whole time. Cause you know, if you're reading at home while you're eating breakfast and then you go drive to work and then you listen to it on your way to work. And
I never have heard that. That is a terrific idea, especially for something.
We need to ask Tor about that.
It's called Whisper.
It's called Whisper Sync.
Whisper Sync. Okay.
For audio. Yeah. And, one of the things I've noticed it does now, I have a 10-year-old son, and what you can do is if you're reading it like on an iPad, say, and then you have the audiobook on your iPad, and if you hit the play button, it will actually highlight the words as it's reading. So it's really nice for teaching your kids to read too, because it really gets that highlighting, and you get the inflection too of, because it's not just like a text-to-speech program where it's like robotic. It's an actual voiceover, it's an actor doing the role, so they're reading it with proper emotion and emphasis, and so it's great. I love it like that. So yeah, you guys should find out if you.
No, that's a really great idea. Well, yeah, speaking of voices, I if I have to drop my voice one more time to play another man, finally I got a little carried away and I realized that we have files now on about 27 different characters that I do different voices for, and every time I go into a new session, I say, how did I do? Peter Demarius? What was that? Was that guy Cockney? No. I've run out of voices. And Morgan's going to say, why is she doing a Mississippi accent for a Roman lead? No, I'm just kidding.
I'll watch.
I promise you, Morgan, there's no Southern accents, no New York accents. But I'm getting desperate, though. it's a lot of fun, yeah.
So are you going to be, you know, in terms of getting, you know, the word out on this book, are either or both of you going to be going to any of the big conventions to try to promote it? What's the plan?
We're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con on the Saturday of the event, just the Saturday.
We're going to Comic-Con.
We're going to Comic-Con. Morgan's flying out. He's going to stay with me for a week so we can talk about book two. We just signed the contract for that, for Wolf's Empire. And we've got another series of books that we're noodling around about that we'd like to sort of hammer out a little bit on that one as well. And we'll go to Comic-Con. And I probably, I'll put my feelers out to Dragon Con and so forth, the big ones most likely. And I'd really like to go overseas again next year. The Commonwealth countries will be getting them in a month after the release in the United States. So England would be high on my list. And I think Morgan should be doing appearances in Australia and New Zealand.
I'll throw it out there that Worldcon in 2017 is in Helsinki.
Oh gosh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Worldcon's usually in like August, typically. Patrick, is that when it usually is?
Yep.
So it's not this, because this August it's in Kansas City.
Right. That's why I said 2017.
Yeah, that's fine. I know. I heard.
But then she'll be ready to, you know, they'll be launching the second book.
That's exactly. True.
Yeah, we should go to Helsinki, Morgan.
And
love to. Sounds good.
Handing out hand printed copies of Baptism of Fire.
Hey. That was a fabulous book. Oh,
God. I doing a little prep and research for this, I am the Babylon 5 person. John is not. And he never actually got a chance to see the show, but I was recording it on my VCR at 3:00 in the morning because the stupid local station wouldn't show it in the daytime. But I did a little research, and I've always wondered why there were never a slew of Babylon 5 books. It never made sense to me. And then I read this article about it, and I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, he would ixnay anything that he felt wasn't canon, and I kind of got bummed out because I thought my book was pretty damn canon to the entire story, but he ixnayed it, so Mongoose Publishing, after they had printed out a whole mess of copies, had to stop, and we could never release it.
Yeah,
but there is a Claudia and I did write a short fanfic Babylon 5 piece that is out there on the interweb.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But once you call it fan fiction, they can't get them. So we're going to write a whole bunch of it.
Well, the fans got behind Babylon Confidential so much, we wanted to do something to say thank you. So I think it's called Red Fury, and it's just a short piece.
Yeah, Red Fury. And I figure that we have to get used to fan fiction because I'm sure there's going to be an onslaught of it from Wolf's Empire. There's so many situations in there that people will get off writing fan fiction. So it's all good. I think it's a great expression of creativity, and it's great for the fans to get involved. You know, my fan base has been so unbelievably supportive in every endeavor that I've put my fingers into, from the documentary, they funded the majority of it, to supporting my nonprofit foundation that I know that, and right now they've already put us up to the top 50 at Barnes & Noble, and we haven't even been released.
That's awesome.
So they just from pre-sales. So they're just a great group of people, and I think that this is a real ode to them, because I think they're going to eat this book up. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, we're running out of time, which I think is what John was getting towards. The book is called Wolf's Empire Gladiator. It's coming out from Tor June 28th. Is there a website or anything that you guys want to direct people to?
We don't have one set up yet, but we will soon. If they keep an eye out for it.
Are you doing social media? Are you on Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, Claudia lives on Twitter, my Facebook fan page is where the majority of people go, and we post daily updates about the book. That's just Claudia Christian fan page on Facebook. And
there's about 150,000 people on that. So we're doing a lot of contact through there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And then the other thing I want to throw out there real quick, I did ask our patrons for questions. MB wants to know, Claudia and Morgan, what was your favorite book as a teenager?
Morgan?
Frank Herbert's Dune.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. As a teenager, good Lord. I Claudius.
Hey, I loved the BBC production of that.
Naked Came I, the Rodin story. You know, I read a lot of historical fiction. I have ever since I was a kid, and history books. And I'm sort of obsessed with Richard III. I'm a member of the Richard III Society, and I read just historical fiction. So anything to do with the War of the Roses or Bosworth or anything, I read as a kid.
Very cool. Guy Anthony DeMarco wants to know what you were channeling when you cried when Marcus died in B5. Because it may have been just great acting, but I thought there was something more behind the tears.
My paycheck, definitely. It was so beautifully written. The dialogue didn't really, I didn't need to try to cry, because it was a really heartfelt, beautifully written scene. That man wrote gorgeous dialogue, and and I had a great director, John Flynn, was directing that episode, and he gave me the space. And Richard Biggs, who I absolutely loved and adored, gave me the support as an actor to him supporting me during that scene and being there for me allowed me to really go free. I was waiting for a crying scene. So I loved that. I loved that scene.
Morgan, what comic books are you reading right now?
I don't read a lot of contemporary comic books as such. I read the oldies. The last thing I read was Alan Moore's From Hell, illustrated by Eddie Campbell. And I started out in comic books, so I'm a huge comic book fan. So mostly I read the golden oldies. I read The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I'm reading a Sandman compilation.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a general aside, a lot of the great writing seems to have gone out of comics lately. There's, I hate to say it, but there's less and less contemporary comic writing that I'm seeking out and writing, and I'm going back to the old stuff that I enjoy. Neil Gaiman's old stuff, Alan Moore's old stuff, Mark Buck. Just went out of my head. Anyway.
Three children and a baby asleep. That's what's well,
that, Ben wants to know, Claudia, boom today or boom tomorrow?
Boom tomorrow. There's always a boom tomorrow.
And then Ben also said, then I'd spend the rest of the time talking about how awesome she is.
Oh, you're so sweet. Is he single? No.
I don't know. I don't know. But Zach did actually ask. I said, what would you ask Claudia? He says, are you available Friday night?
Oh, that is so sweet.
Aww. All right, John, what else you got?
Oh, you know, you guys mentioned the graphic novel a couple times. So is that something that's out already, or is that something you're still working on?
Morgan?
That's something that we would love to get going. We originally were pitching it as a graphic novel, and we had Australian artists David Williams and Michael Dukovich do some fantastic sample work and covers. And they've gone out and they're out in the marketplace, and we're trying to get people interested in wanting to do a graphic novel.
Have you considered like doing a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo or something?
That's a great idea. We should definitely look into that.
And I mean, if you get me a copy, I write a graphics novel column for Kirkus Reviews. I'll get it on there.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
That'd be fantastic.
Yep.
Originally, that's how we started. We took the graphic novel apart page by page and started writing sample chapters. So it's and the artwork is extraordinary. It's gorgeous.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so as Patrick said, the book's out June 28th, and you guys are going to be going to Comic-Con in San Diego. And anything else you want to tell our listeners before we let you go?
Can I tell everybody that I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble at the Grove in Los Angeles on June 30th, which is a Thursday night at 7 p.m., signing the hardback copies, reading from the book, and talking about the book?
No, you can't.
Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, you are.
Of course, yeah. If there's any other appearances or anything like that you want to let people know about, please do.
No, that's terrific. Just that and San Diego Comic-Con. We'll be there Saturday. And, if anybody listening to this has issues with alcohol drinking, you can contact c3foundation.org, and I'll help you for free.
And that's, and that's the letter C and three spelled out T-H-R-E-E.
Yes, but if you just put C in the number three, I still come up. Claudia Christian, cool. Sinclair Method, Claudia Christian drinking alcohol, C3 Foundation, whatever, it comes up. They'll find me. And the film is called One Little Pill, and it's onelittlepillmovie.com, where you can rent it or purchase it. Or if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free.
Very cool. And I should get extra credit for not going full-on Babylon 5 nerd on you tonight.
Woo-hoo! I'm proud of you.
I am too, Patrick. Been very professional. You've been very professional all night. I know this was very exciting.
Ivanova would have kicked your ass anyway if you would have gotten that line.
I know. And I would have enjoyed every minute of it.
Every last second of it. it was great meeting you guys. Thank you for promoting and helping us.
No problem.
Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. All right. Well, thank you so much to Claudia and Morgan for joining us tonight. Go and check out the book, Wolf's Empire Gladiator. It will be out on June 28th. And hopefully we'll get you back on when book two comes out.
That would be lovely. Thank you, guys. Have a great
night. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Okay. You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
And we're back. Well, hope you enjoyed that interview. We really dug it. It's always nice when you meet these people that are of a certain stature, and they end up being really super cool. And
she has a great fan following, and and she is incredibly respectful of her fans, and they love her to death. So she's a class act, John. She really is.
Absolutely. So go and check out their book. Both the books that they have out, they get some nice blurbs from folk like Neil Gaiman and Kevin J. Anderson and Mike Resnick and all sorts of big heavy hitters. So go and check it out.
And if you get a chance, I mean, go do the Barnes & Noble thing or go see them at Comic-Con, because I think that it sounds like together they're also a hoot.
Yes. Yeah, it seems like they've developed a nice relationship over the years from when they met. So
And one of the things that we didn't talk, we talked a little bit about the Babylon 5 book that she wrote, John. She wrote a Babylon 5 book back in the day.
I got that from you.
And so, when you can build that dynamic with another writer, where the two of you can work so well together that you're able to collaborate on books, I think that's kind of special.
Yeah, well, I'm always, and you know, it's one of the things I wanted to bring up, and they talked a little bit about their process, but I always find co-writing to be fascinating, and we've had various co-writers on the show before, and everyone's different, you know.
Yep.
You know, you have like Kevin J. Anderson and Brian Herbert, like literally, like just trading chapters, And then you have, you know, was the Dragonlance books, Tracy Hickman and where it's basically he created the world and she writes the books.
Right. Well, like Daniel and Ty, right? They uh-huh. both take passes at each chapter. Like they'll write the characters that they'll flip them back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just always fascinated because we tend to think of our authors as being, you know, these solitary geniuses just that lock themselves away in a room for a year or however or many years in some cases and you know, make themselves bleed metaphorically onto the page until they finish a book. And so it's always very interesting to hear how co-authors collaborate, I think. So it was a great opportunity for us to talk to them. And once again, for us, if you dig what we do, consider backing us on our Patreon. Just go over to patreon.com/functionalnerds, and there will be lots of options there for how you can do that. And we greatly appreciate it. Patrick, anything else before we let everyone go?
I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to watch all 5 seasons of Babylon 5 plus Crusade in like the next hour. That's what I want to do now. I want to just like watch every single episode of Babylon 5. And I mean, I'm even willing to watch Crusade.
Mm. Is Crusade like another show that was after Babylon
5? Yeah, it was a spinoff that they tried to do.
And it wasn't as good?
It was all right. It was Gary Cole. You know Gary Cole?
Yeah, sure, sure.
So, and he's like a captain, and he's I don't want to tell you what the premise of the show is because it kind of spoils the end of Babylon 5.
I see.
And if you ever decide, John, to heighten your experiences in this world and take it to the next level by watching Babylon 5, then I don't want to spoil that for you.
I do want to watch, you know, as of now, it's not available to stream anywhere right now. So, you know, if that puppy shows up on Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or something, I will definitely dive into that. So it's just, I feel like that was on Netflix, like.
I don't think it was.
Way in the early days of Netflix.
May have been, but I don't know. So they did the whole thing where, you know, it was a syndicated show. And then the last season was aired on TNT. It was one of the first, like, TNT-produced shows where they actually tried to produce a new show. And so that 5th season was on TNT, and then they spun it off and did Crusade. And it just never had the ratings, I guess, to justify keeping it going. And then they did a like a direct to DVD movie kind of thing afterwards. Stories from Babylon 5. Mm-hmm. So they did a few things, and he's always, we're talking about JMS, and he's always talked about like trying to reboot it or trying to do something else with it. I think that would be great if that could happen somehow, somewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know that you can even get it anymore at this point. I don't know if they still sell the DVDs or what.
I suspect you can get the DVDs, and you might even be able to buy it streaming. I don't know about that. I'd have to look into it.
Yeah. If not, I'm willing to let you fly here and watch it with me for $10,000.
Ooh, that seems like a deal.
Yeah.
That is a deal.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that could be one of our Patreon rewards. Maybe if people back the show for $10,000,
we'll make John come here for like a week and just binge on Babylon 5.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's a fair goal. I really do. So
yes, that's what says that's the one.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end the show than that.
I'm ATFMB on Twitter, and he is John Anilio on Twitter. Come find us.
Yes, very much so. I hope you dug this episode, and we'll be back in a week. All right, everybody, have a good one.
The Babylon Project was our last best hope for peace. It failed. In the year of the Shadow War, it became something greater. Our last best hope for victory. The year is 2260. The place, Babylon 5.
Say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?